Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Golf Talk Live. I'm your host, Ted Odorico. This evening, I'm certainly honored to have as one of my guests a true champion of the game, the legendary Billy Casper. In a moment, I'll be joined by Billy and Kent Novus of Nine Iron Sports Drink. But before I introduce my guest this evening, I would like to remind you that tonight's broadcast is sponsored by two great publications, first one being South Coast Golf Guide. I want to send a special thank you to Jonathan Laird of South Coast Golf Guide for his continued support of the program, and also Endless Golf, Myrtle Beach Golf Magazine. I want to send a special thank you to Meredith Kirk of Endless Golf. And you can get a copy of the South Coast Golf Guide at www.southcoastgolfguide.com. And you can download currently the Endless Golf magazine off of Meredith Kirk's website at www.meredithkirk.com. So, again, I want to thank both of them for their continued support of Golf Talk Live. And I just want to remind the listeners that you can call into the program. The number to call in is 646-716-4667. I'm going to open up the lines a little bit later in the program, so if you want to call in and say hello to Billy and Kent, certainly welcome to do so. But the first little while, we're just going to sit back and listen to some great stories and hear about a fantastic product that Kent is going to talk to us about tonight. Also, if you want to email me during the program, you can email me at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. That's ted.golftalklive@gmail.com, and I'll certainly be willing to take some questions there as well if you have any. Don't forget to follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/golftalkliveblog. And also, I want to thank those that have been reaching out through Twitter the last few days. A number of you have come on through Twitter. My Twitter handle is TedandBuckCEO. And lastly, the website at www.golftalkliveblog.com. Certainly appreciate you visiting the website as well and making some comments. Let me introduce my first guest, Kent Novus of Nine Iron Sports Drink. Kent was born in St. George, Utah. He's been married for 15 years and the proud father of four sons. He's educated in southern Utah. Kent's background has mainly been in the engineering field since 1995. And with his vast resume in the golf industry and also for helping those with low-income families and working, obviously, with kids, his love of the golf has helped him to navigate his way to Billy Casper and his nonprofit foundation, Billy Casper's Kids, which obviously helps kids all over the United States. Kent, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Ted. I appreciate you having me on tonight. It's a privilege. I want to express my gratitude for having Billy and I on tonight. Thank you very much.
Not a problem. I appreciate having both of you on. Kent, just very quickly before we start, I want to get Billy in here in a second, and I just want a few things I want to read about Billy, and then we'll bring him on, and then you and I will continue our conversation about this great drink, Nine Iron Sports Drink. Billy Casper was born June 24th, 1931 in San Diego. His parents were William Earl and Isabel Casper. Billy's achievements in golf are well chronicled by the media in many, many books and, of course, many golf enthusiasts from around the world. Billy started in the PGA in 1956 and since then has racked up 51 PGA Tour wins, including three major championships, including the 1959 and 66 U.S. Opens and, of course, the 1970 Masters Tournament. In addition, he has a whole host of wins on the Champion Tour as well. Just far too many to list them all, but you can certainly visit his website, and I'll give that information later. You can check that out. On June 28, 1952, he married his sweetheart, Shirley, and they've been married for 60 years. They've raised 11 children, 6 adopted into their family, adding another 34 grandchildren and 11 great-grandchildren, with, I'm sure, many more on the way. He's also written a great book, The Big Three and Me. We're going to talk about that as well. It's really an autobiography of Billy's life, his career, and, of course, the three biggest names in golf, Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, and Mr. Gary Player. In 2010, he was given the PGA Distinguished Service Award, which I know he's very, very proud to have received that. We'll talk a little bit about that as the show goes on. But before I use up all of my time reading Billy's rather long list of accomplishments, let me ask him to join us. Welcome, Billy, to Golf Talk Live.
Thank you. Between reading what you had to do for all your communications and getting me involved, that just about took up your show.
Well, that's why I'm glad it's a two-hour program. Like I said to you, I jokingly said to Billy off the air, I said, if I had my way, I'd branch this out to a seven-hour show just to accompany all of the wonderful stories that I know you could share with us. But Billy, just sort of sit and relax and listen for a few moments. Kent and I are going to start off the show. We want to talk about a great sports drink that you're involved with, and we'll talk a little bit about that relationship in a moment. But Kent, let's talk about Nine Iron Sports Drink. Golf certainly has needed its own product in that category. And what was the thinking behind coming out with Nine Iron, and how did this sort of all come about?
Okay. Nine Iron was actually, the idea was to form a vitamin hydration drink that we actually began back in 2007 with discussions between actually the two co-founders, and they were really wanting to implement something in the market, and they talked about the need for a quality product for golfers. And as they did their research, they realized that there was really no drink on the market at that time which targeted the golfer. So they decided to create one. So they sampled many of the drinks on the market and concluded that most of the drinks, they didn't taste very good. And they contained a lot of sugar with excess amounts of caffeine. So, you know, while caffeine and sugar, as you know, provide a brief burst of energy, there's always that crash and that brief burst of energy. But you've got that burn effect that happens that follows. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they really wanted to provide something that was a natural alternative to energy and hydration, and hence that's how Nine Iron was born. And about a year ago, Billy and I basically teamed up. I have been involved with Billy and helping him with his foundation, and I just really wanted to develop and work with Billy on something that will go to benefit his foundation. So that's where my involvement comes in. I worked with the co-founders that purchased the company and purchased the company, got with Billy. Billy was gracious to be an endorser of the product, and hence that's how kind of Nine Iron was born and where it is today.
Right, and let me just add, obviously, for the listeners tuning in here, I've obviously tried the product, and I will say with all honesty, and Kent, I've emailed you back this several times, but it's really, truly a fantastic product. I've had some of the other drinks out there, and you're so right, there's a definite burn and sort of crash effect with a lot of the other products because there is so much caffeine and high quantities of sugar. And that was one thing, obviously, your side of it was very diligent about not having in it, which is very important. Because, and one of the things, too, what really sort of came to my mind about this product, especially in the golf industry, other industries you might be able to get away with a little bit, but the importance of not sort of having that hopped-up feeling with a drink. You know, the last thing you want to be doing is playing in your club championship and on a putt of any length and you know, feeling like you have the shakes. And obviously a lot of the drinks out there do that. And that was one thing I was very, very impressed about this particular product, Nine Iron, was the fact that, even after having one or two of them, I never got that feeling. It was a great tasting drink, and I just didn't get that hopped up. But yet, I felt certainly that it helped in hydrating me throughout my rounds. So it was definitely a great product. Let me ask you something. What are some of the difference between some of its competitors? What are some of the primary differences? Is it mainly just
the way that we formulated and enhanced the formula, that it was specifically formulated with the golfer in mind, and I think that's important for your listeners. And I know our target audience tonight is several golfers out there, but the secret to really all of it is it contains those essential electrolytes that are necessary for the body that hydrate and replenish the human body, not only during the round of golf, but it also could be for any sports activity. So, I think through the formulation and through the blending process, it's got its own unique, it's got a really crisp flavor to it that's refreshing and thirst-quenching.
Yeah.
Not only have we looked for the finest ingredients out there in the market, but I think the key points here to this beverage is that it's natural and contains no caffeine, and it's got that great vitamin complex that really provides and contains those essential electrolytes to hydrate and replenish the human body. So I think that's kind of the secret that if you call the competitive niche and how it compares against other competitors out there.
And you know, right. It'll make your butt better too.
Well,
that's right. Billy's putting game has got a lot better while he's been drinking 9-iron.
And who doesn't want that, right, Billy?
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to putt better? Well, here's the interesting thing that really caught my eye. I really like the packaging, and again, I'm not just saying that because you're on the program, but I really found it a very very identifiable, and it really, to me, I kind of thought this. Now, I'm certainly no marketer when it comes to products, but it's almost like having an extra club in your bag. When you look at it from that standpoint, because it does. A lot of times when you're playing, I mean, obviously, you need to drink water and keep hydrated throughout. But especially down here in the South, where it gets unbearably hot during the summer. Just drinking water is not enough. You need to have something to replace those electrolytes, as you said. And a lot of these other drinks that are high in sugars and high in caffeine certainly do have some of the same ingredients. But the problem is that you can't, drink one or two of those through a round and not feel the effects of the caffeine in that. And that's not a good thing, especially playing a sport like golf.
Correct. And, Ted, one other important thing, I think a lot of people out there hear of dehydration and the importance to stay hydrated. But, there's one important thing out there in the market, and it's being overhydrated, overhydration. Overhydration
right.
can be just as a serious problem as dehydration to the body. And so what I really love about this product is that the sodium levels of 9-iron are set to keep you from retaining water, from forcing the mm-hmm. kidneys to remove those excess electrolytes. And I think that's also another very, very strong talking point to 9-iron and its formulation. So, that's an interesting topic that we can talk a little bit about. But, overhydration can be just as serious as dehydration. And that's one thing that really caught my eye with this product also.
Well, and the other nice thing that I enjoyed about it, at least a few that I was able to sample, because I got to tell you, when you sent me out the packet, there was a dozen in there. And I'll tell you, they went so fast between my associates and I that I feel like I got the rotten end of the deal with that group, because they just quickly, once they had one, it was like they thought, well, this is really good, and you mind sparing another one? And before I knew it, I was down to my last two, and it didn't take long for it to deplete my reserve. But it was just a great, refreshing drink, as you said, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I can certainly understand. Now, I just want to expand a little bit more about Billy getting involved, because,
Sounds great.
There's a lot of great, players out on tour and things like that could have easily come on board. And I'm sure that there will be more in the future. But what was particularly about Billy that sort of caught your eye and thought, he should be involved, or we would love to have him involved, or maybe it was the other way around. Maybe it was more on his end.
Ted, really where it all started is I've gone down to support Billy in his annual tournament down in San Diego called the Billy Casper Classic. And I've gone there not only to golf in it, and then, recently the past a few years I've sponsored it and helped Billy bring players to it and really help him out to generate more money for his foundation. But where it all started is a dear friend of mine and is a dear friend of Billy's named Larry Olson, and he might be listening tonight, so we'll give Larry a shout-out here. But Larry has been a dear friend of mine and introduced me to Billy, and we just really put this together. My whole intent with this is to help Billy's foundation and the kids that he so righteously helps in his foundation, and I want to be able to help more kids with Billy through this. So that's kind of how all Billy and I got linked up, and I think the world of Billy. Over the past few years, him and I have gone back to the Masters together and became dear friends, and I think the world of Billy. So I'm excited that not only that he endorses this, but he's a dear friend, and I care a lot about him. So.
Well,
I'm very interested in products that help people, and as you have heard from Kent, and your research and your trial, you have found that the product does help people.
Yep.
And I'm very much this is really my whole life. I want to be able to help people. with many different phases of their life. And this is such an important phase of one's life because not only does the athlete use it, but people that labor and work, hard labor, can use it, and it can be a benefit to them. And it can be benefit to people that work in offices because what they gain from it is a clearness of mind that they can do their jobs better.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely, you know, in this day and age with everybody so health conscious and it's refreshing to really see a product come out. And I'm glad really that you're introducing it, you know, at this time into the golf market because there's, you know, there's, as I said, there's a lot of products out there and there's just not really anything out there, or certainly hasn't been until this point, that sort of tackles that particular area. So it was really good timing, you know, given the direction that the market is going with these different drinks and with products out there and health-conscious society. It's good to have something out there that is actually good for you and is going to help you throughout your daily life, and not just obviously on the golf course, but as you said, Billy, in business and things like that. So it's a great product, and obviously golf is a great sport to sort of get the foot in the door, so to speak, and I'm sure Kent and the others are certainly grateful to have you come on board with that. I agree. I can't think of a better spokesperson really for any product to have than you, Mr. Casper. So my kudos to Kent and his group for putting that together.
Well, you know, when Kent approached me and we started investigating and trying the product, it sold itself.
Right.
And we had the opportunity in our area up here in Utah to disperse it among a lot of the golfers, and because they supported a lot of the tournaments up here in Utah, and when the day was done, we almost didn't have any product left.
Well, after, as I said to you a moment ago, in my experience, I could certainly understand, and I just had you know, a dozen cans of it, and it went in less than 2 days. So they were scooping it up and you know, running off with it. So I didn't have, as I said, only had a few samples myself to enjoy it, but I will certainly get some more. But it was just certainly a great product, and that was one of the reasons, Kent, I wanted to have you when you approached me about coming on the program. And obviously, I was, you know, even more excited when I found out that Billy was involved with it as well. And I certainly will continue to do, and we'll talk more, you know, after the show. But you know, certainly want to do whatever I can to promote this product with my program. It's certainly great,
and I appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem. Let me just very quickly, gentlemen, let me just take a very, very short break, and then we'll get right back to it. I want to introduce to my audience another great product, since we were talking about putting, the Star Putter Putting Tool. It's as we're getting closer to Christmas, you're obviously looking for something to buy that golfer, and here's a great product to do that. Have a listen.
Hi, this is Ted from Golf Talk Live. Are you looking to make more putts, shoot lower scores, and just play better golf? Now you can with a Star Putter Putting Tool. Simply use the tool 5 minutes before your next round and make 3 to 5 more putts. Practice with Star Putter 15 to 20 minutes, 3 times a week, and lower your handicap after just 10 rounds. Star Putter Putting Tool, available now at starputter.com.
Okay, we're back with Mr. Billy Casper and Kent Nobis of Nine Iron Sports Drinks. And gentlemen, let me just ask one quick question here. Where is it available so that the listeners can find out where they can get their hands
They'll
on stuff?
They'll go to nineirondrink.com. That's NINEIRONDRINK, nineirondrink.com. They can go to the website, and they definitely can purchase there. You know, Ted, you and I talked a little bit about the relationship that Billy and I have formed with Thirstmonger, mm-hmm. and they'll see on the website that they'll just go to buy 9iron online, and it'll take them right to thirstmonger.com. And that's a really neat relationship that 9iron has established with Thirstmonger. Thirstmonger.com is one of the nation's largest online niche beverage websites. And if they go to the category under sports and exercise, they'll see a nice web banner there for 9-Iron. They click on that, and they can purchase it right through Thirstmonger. We did that for a couple of reasons. Is because Thirstmonger has got such a great relationship with FedEx, and their buying and purchase power with FedEx, that customers can get their product in a very, very timely manner, and also in a very economical manner. So
right.
That's kind of where they would go to buy it. I think that would, where we'd like to take them is just go to 9irondrink.com, hit buy now, and it'll take them to Thirstmonger.
Perfect. Now, is there also, I guess depending on where you are you also going to be looking at bringing it out into a retail format as well, or is it you're pretty much going to cater to an online program?
We've done that now, but we've also, you know, here in Utah, which we're based out of, Ted, is we've got several golf courses in the state, several retailers that are carrying it. So yeah, as we branch and we grow, you know, we're a young company, but as the word gets out, you know how this works with a younger company. You need to
yep.
expose yourself and market yourself in a good way, and have a good reputation and get good brand loyalty with customers. And that, I know they're going to have a good experience with the product. That was proven already here with you today, Ted, why you reached out and
yeah.
were on your show. But, yeah, as we grow, we definitely will be love to be looking for distributors and so on. So,
well, I will certainly, as I said, be more than happy to do my part to help in any way that I can. One of the great things about doing a program like this is you know, being an online broadcast, it broadcasts globally. So we're not just here in the United States, but there's people from all over the world that have been tuning into my program. And as my program has, you know, much like you talked about branding and things like that, as my program has been developing and word has gotten out, I'm not only getting the average everyday golfers tuning in, but I'm also getting a lot of the teaching professionals tuning in now as well, for a couple of reasons. Number one, a lot of the guests that I've had on in the past have been teaching professionals in the golf center. I've had a few players on, and we'll certainly have more in the new year. But it's a great way for them to connect and hear some great tips and things that they can each adopt into their own format. And it's just a really great way to get information out there, as opposed to sort of your traditional radio broadcast, which certainly can get to a very large audience. But a lot of times you're in, unless it's a nationally based program, you're fairly limited to where it's going to broadcast to. So this is one of the great things that anybody anywhere with a mobile device, a computer, you know, whatever device they have, can tune into this program at any time, you know, during the day. So that's what's really great. And all of the programs, of course, are auto-recorded. So even if they don't happen to make the live broadcast, they can still visit the Golf Talk Live site and click on and listen to the recorded version a little bit later on, which they can do for those that are maybe in a different time zone. So that's one of the great things with technology nowadays, you know, to get the word out there. So I'm more than happy to do what I can with this program to bring products, especially like this, like 9-Iron, out to my listening audience around the world. So I'm glad to help, guys.
Appreciate that, Ted.
Appreciate it.
Not a problem. If there was one thing that you wanted, Kent, people to really know about this drink, I know there's several things, but what would it be and why?
You know, the one thing that I would want them to know about is that there's a safe alternative out there. You know, there's so many things that I read about with kids and the older generation that, you know, they don't know if there's a safe alternative out there. And, you know, 9-Iron truly is a safe alternative to a hydration and an energy drink, and that's its competitive niche. And so my one hope is that I want people to know that it's a great tasting product. Not only does it have a great aftertaste, but it's a great, great product that will help them and not hurt them. So that's probably my one big desire, I think, for 9-Iron Drink is to get it in, you know, thousands of people's of hands so they have a good experience and they know that there's a safe alternative out there in the market.
That's a very interesting point that you make that. In my experience with it, that was exactly what I did experience, is it had a great aftertaste. One of the things that was kind of interesting that one of the gentlemen that had sampled it when you had sent them out to me is
you know, he was certainly very skeptical. I mean, it's just another drink, and, you know, and he was actually very pleasantly surprised just at how good tasting it was. And he indicated to me, and I wanted to share this not only with you but also with the listening audience about this, one of the things that he said with a lot of the other drinks on the market is, number one, there's either in many cases not a very good aftertaste, or it's a very watery tasting drink, and I'm certainly not going to name names, but that was one of the things that he found very refreshing about Nine Iron, is the fact that it didn't have a bad aftertaste. It had a very good aftertaste, and it didn't seem sort of watered down. It was very refreshing, and he was definitely sold on it and managed to swipe about three or four more cans of it before I knew had caught on. So obviously he enjoyed it very, very well, and he's buying the next round. But anyways.
That's great. You know, Ted, every good business has a good business plan, and they've got they really have a good mission statement, and they believe in what they do. And you know, my big tagline to let people know is that Nine Iron's real goal, its management team here that we've put together, is its whole goal is to get you tuned up and not jazzed up. And that's really, you know, what we want to see for people, is we want them to be healthy, and we want them tuned up and not jazzed up.
Yeah, and you know, as we indicated a little bit, you know, a few minutes back, you know, one of the things, as Billy had interjected into the comment about, you know, helping with putting and things like that, in golf you can't, it doesn't matter what level you're playing at, if you're playing at a pro level or you're just playing in your local, you know, club championship, or you're just playing with your foursome on the weekend, the last thing that you want to do is to be drinking something that's going to give you that sort of hopped up or antsy kind of feeling, because it's just going to ruin your round and your game. And especially at the pro level, they can't afford to be using something like that. And there's a lot of different products out there that, you know, provide energy. And more often than not, when you read the labeling and you see that it's got quite a bit of caffeine and things on it, that's the last thing, especially as a golfer or really anybody in sports, that you want, is to have something, because anything that sort of lifts you up that way, in an unnatural way, whatever goes up, as the old saying goes, with gravity comes back down, and that's something definitely in a sports drink that you don't want to have. So that's another big plus that I really like about this product.
Great.
Just before we move on, I want to just take another very quick little break here just to let the listeners know again about the sponsors. I want to thank South Coast Golf Guide and Endless Golf Myrtle Beach Magazine again for sponsoring the program. And a little bit later in the program, as I indicated, I am going to allow some callers to call in and if they choose to. And that number again is area code 646-716-4667. Or if you're a little shy and don't want to come on air with us, you can certainly email a question if you have one for either Kent or Billy at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. You're tuning in here with me and some great guests, Mr. Kent Nobis of Nine Iron Sports Drink, and obviously the legendary Billy Casper. Billy, I want to move on, and Kent, we're going to come back a little bit more throughout the program to the energy drink, but I want to go on and talk a little bit about Billy's book. There's a lot of things to different cover here, so bear with us here, and let's move on a little bit. Billy, I want to ask you just a few things about the book. I certainly don't want to give it all away. Billy obviously has written a fine book called The Big Three and Me, and it's a book that really talks about, as I indicated in the early part, really talks about your life and your career, and obviously gives mention to three of the top golfers in your era, Mr. Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, and of course Gary Player.
Well, you know, they actually wrote the foreword.
Right.
The three of them wrote the foreword for the book.
Yeah, and it was definitely a beautiful message from them. Why the big three? How did you come up with the title? Let me back up for a second before you answer that, Billy. I know that there was some other gentleman that you wanted to mention. I know there was a little bit of a story.
Right.
Also, you did with this book was James Parkinson and Lee Benson. I'll let you tell a little bit about them, and then let's go on with the book itself.
Well, it's very interesting. In 1966, I came in contact with Jim Parkinson and his brother, Rick. They were teenagers, and they lived in Palm Springs, and I was attending a speaking of function at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And after we had finished the lecture, we gathered in the gathering hall to have punch and cookies. And one of them said, Jim said, good luck in the U.S. Open this year. And the other one said, you dummy. He said, Rick said to him, he said, the next big tournament is the Masters. Well, I called Jim a teenage prophet. And so I tried for 8 years to get the book out on the market and couldn't do it because I didn't have the right set of circumstances. And Jim Parkinson became a very prominent attorney and represented the tobacco smokers against the tobacco companies in the state of California and retired as an attorney. His brother became a very prominent dermatologist and is our dermatologist in Provo, Utah. Mm-hmm. Shirley and I were meeting with him a little over 2 years ago in January, and in the course of our meeting, I said to him, do you think your brother Jim would be interested in getting involved with my book? He said, give him a call. So I called him, and he said, yes, but you have to use Lee Benson as the writer. He has written three books for me. He's written a number of prominent books for a lot of prominent people, and he writes two special columns a week for the Deseret News right now. And I had known Lee through Hack Miller, who was the former sports editor of the Deseret News, was a very close friend. So he trained under him. And so I had the man would help sponsor the book. I had the man that would write the book. He knew about the athlete. He knew about golf. And he knew about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And so we spent approximately 60 to 80 hours recording that book. And he would come, say, at 9:30 in the morning and ask a question with the recorder on, and about an hour later he would have the answer to that question, but he'd have anywhere from 3 to 7 stories. And that's the way we did the book. And he recorded everything, and then he took everything and took many of our photo albums and put the pictures in the book. And so that's how we got it. It took us 15 months to get it out, and we've had great success since then.
And let me just say for the listeners that are tuning in a little bit later in the program, of course, I'm talking with legendary Billy Casper. We're just starting to talk a little bit about his book, The Big Three and Me, of course, referencing to Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, and Gary Player as the Big Three. And one of the things that really interested me right from the get-go, and I expected this even before I got the book, was some of the photographs, as you just mentioned. There's a list probably as long as both of my arms and then some of just some of the people that you've had the privilege and honor to either play with or meet. Everything from presidents. I see Gerald Ford and also Jackie Gleason, Bob Hope, two very, very prominent people that were involved in golf. Obviously not at the professional level, but Bob Hope, of course, and Jackie Gleason both had various tournaments and that have gone on for years. I know. I don't think is Jackie Gleason. That's changed over, has it not?
Yes,
or is that still...
he was involved with a tournament in Florida for a number of years.
Right.
But the Crosby is now the AT&T, and the.
Right.
The Hope is now Humana in Palm Springs. So even though they've changed their names, the same format is nearly the same format is still available. But It's been fascinating to see how the book has progressed. We have nearly 20,000 copies scattered throughout the in circulation now, and we're in our fourth printing.
Wow.
So it's been accepted very readily, and it's something that I wanted to get out because people can relate to so many different areas in that book. You know,
right.
From the time I started hitting a golf ball in the cow pastures of New Mexico when I was 4 years of age, to playing baseball and golf in high school and having to choose between one or the other, and then having the opportunity to meet my future wife when I was a senior in high school and she was a sophomore, mm-hmm. and how I was able to spend 4 years in the Navy serving during the Korean conflict and servicing dependents and officers and enlisted men through the game of golf, which I dearly love, and then to be able to, when my completion there in the Navy, be able to have a friend that arranged for two businessmen to finance me and start on the tour in a trailer, and the first tournament I played in was the Western Open at the Portland Golf Club, and
right.
I won a check of $33.33, and I was on
the tour then.
and
just a quick note for some of the younger listeners out there, $33.33 back then would go a lot further than it would today. You'd be lucky if you could buy a sandwich in the clubhouse with $33.33 today. But let me just quickly mention, Billy, while we're on the subject of the photos here.
Ted, I just want to interject that a 9-iron is a lot less expensive than that, too. So.
I was going to say. I wanted to mention about one of the photos that's in the book here. It's actually, for those of you that have a copy and haven't gone through it, I won't give out too much information. But on one of the, I think it's page 232, is a picture of you were celebrating, it looks like here, you were celebrating your 80th birthday, Billy, and the family got together at your daughter Linda's and son-in-law.
Right, home.
Most of your family, this is it looks like it was taken in Park City, Utah, and it says here, it says, that's not quite all of us, but it's close. And I just wanted obviously this is an audio program, it's not a visual, but for just the listeners tuning in, they must have used a wide-angle lens for this shot because it literally goes from, they had to turn it sideways in order to fit it on the page. So it actually runs opposite to what you would normally think. And, I mean, you all just fit. It's like a small country on this page.
Well, Lee Benson took that picture. And being a newspaper man, you know, most of his life, he knew all the tricks and how to do things. And of the 46 that are there, there are 17 missing. And now, just a couple years later, we're over 70 in our family. So our family continues to grow, and it will continue to grow.
Yep.
See, that's been the most important thing in my life, has been my family. And if you read the first 21 pages of the book, it's about statistics. I had no idea what I was accomplishing other than I knew I was the seventh all-time leading money winner, and I knew that I had won the most points in the Ryder Cup. But the other statistics that are in there, I had no idea about. You know, I just went out each day and played golf and tried to play as best as I could and make enough money that I could keep the wolf away from the door and my young family that was growing. And a few years ago, maybe two to three years ago, an executive that was retired with one of the major companies was a member at the club that I grew up at. It's San Diego Country Club in Chula Vista. And he said, when you were making that money, you know, in those days, he said, what'd you invest in? And I said, my 11 children.
Well, and that was certainly a great investment. You know, reading this book, Billy, and I don't want to get into too much right now because it's some things I want to sort of save towards the end of the program, but it's very evident reading this book where your priorities were, and it was with your family. Obviously, golf was really a vessel, if you will, to allow you to accomplish many things in your life. But it was really a journey, and we're going to talk about a few of these things. I want to talk about – I certainly don't want to give out all the stories in the book because I want people to go out and get a copy of it, and I strongly urge the listeners tuning in to not only get a copy for yourself, but as I said earlier, with Christmas coming up, what a great opportunity to give a gift, and this is a fantastic gift. The book and a case of 9-iron, I can't think of a better Christmas gift to give that golfer out there. So, guys, for you listening out there, and ladies, for you too as well, your husbands would certainly be very excited to receive a copy of Billy's book and a case of nine iron, under the Christmas tree this year. Let me just
Ted,
get into
I like
a
the way
bit,
you
Billy.
Think.
I'm a golfer, Billy. I'm a golfer. Come on.
You're good. You're good, man.
I got to get those plugs in for you guys tonight. I'm going to keep doing it. Billy, one of the
– Hey, Ted, real quick. I just want to interject one thing. We talked a little bit about Billy and his commitment to his family. You know, being friends with Billy and being involved with his family, I just – as a witness here on this program tonight, I want to – you know, Billy really is one of the most underestimated legends in golf. If I look at his career with 51 PGA Tour wins, Ted, and – three major wins with 59 and 66 U.S. Open, the 70 Masters champion. Golly, he was named the best golfer for 15 times by Golf Digest. Was introduced in the Golf Hall of Fame in 78. I mean, he just had some amazing, amazing statistics on his career. But more importantly, I have to tell you, Billy is sincere. He's a genuine person, and he cares a lot about people. And honestly, that's one of the biggest things why I love Billy being an endorsement, an endorser of 9-iron, because at the end of the day, this life is about people. And
exactly.
So anyhow, just I want to make a plug for Billy there about the true type of person he is and encourage people to get out there and read this book and read about his life. It'll touch your life. So.
For sure. Very quickly, gentlemen, before we dive into the book here, I'm seeing here we've got somebody very patiently waiting online. Let me just bring this person online and let him have a chance to say hello. Good evening and welcome to Golf Talk Live. You're here live with Billy Casper and Kent Nobis from 9-iron Sports Drink. Who are we – do we have the pleasure of having on the line with us?
Yeah, Ted, this is Bernie Pinder. How are you?
I'm doing well, Bernie. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to say hi to Mr. Casper. I saw him play. I was a young player at the time. I think it was in 1966 at Firestone. I think my year is correct. But I just took
so
up the game of golf.
That was the PGA, Bernie.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? That was at Firestone and Alan Geiberger won the PGA that year, and the next week Tony Lima lost his life.
Yeah, that's correct. You know what? You got a better memory than I do, but I do remember those situations. But I just wanted to say this again. I had just started taking up the game of golf. I only had a few minutes. I was in between a business call, and I walked out to the golf course. You were teeing up on the 10th tee, and as I watch you hit the ball down that fairway, I'm going, oh, my gosh, is that the way you're supposed to hit the ball? all I can remember is it just went right out of sight, and I was it actually led me to go on and become a much better player. So I want to really thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you for taking time to call us, and appreciate you your story, and keep up keep hitting it good.
I'm playing pretty well for an old guy, so we're probably close to the same age, actually.
So. Well, you're younger than I am. I'm 82.
Oh, I'm 73, so we're close.
Well, you're one over par.
Well, I'll let you go. I enjoy the show. I'll sit here patiently and listen. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Bernie, for calling in.
Take care.
Thanks. Let me just very quickly give Bernie a plug. Actually, Bernie was a guest of mine a few weeks ago. Bernie is the founder and owner of a great business called Ontic Golf. And Bernie actually sent me out one of his putters. He developed a custom line of putters that are just absolutely fantastic. And he sent me one out probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I've been out trying it a few times, and it's just a very, very great product. So definitely want to give a shout-out to Bernie. Thank you, Bernie, for calling into the program and sharing some memories of Billy Casper. All right, let's one of the things I wanted to talk about, we talked about off-air, Billy, about the book. There were some references that you had made in the book that sort of jumped out at me. One of the references that you made were about some of the lessons that you learned throughout your career, and one of them was from, of course, one of the best in the game, Mr. Ben Hogan. And you said that you first learned about course management from Mr. Hogan. Can you share that story with us, the listeners?
Well, I was caddying at the San Diego Country Club. When I was 11 years of age, both of my parents were out of the house at 7 o'clock. My mother worked for a telephone company, and my dad worked for the San Diego Gas and Electric. And so what does an 11-year-old do? Three blocks away was the San Diego Country Club, and I thought I'd go caddy. Well, I couldn't caddy because I wasn't 12 years of age to get a work permit. So I found golf balls and sold golf balls to the members. And a lady took pity on me, and she said, I play three times a week. And she says, I play at these times. You meet me on the second hole, and you can carry my bag to through 17. Well, she gave me 75 cents each day, which was a nice fee for an 11-year-old. And I'd have one or two golf balls, which I could sell her. So I was making, you know, nearly $5 a week that I could use on my way to school. And I would stop at a convenience store, and I'd get a bear claw, and I'd eat that on the way to school, and that was my breakfast. But anyhow, as I got older, I continued to caddy at the San Diego Country Club. And when I was a teenager, probably in late in my 14th year on the earth, or early 15th year, Hogan played a match with Di Reese at the San Diego Country Club, and Hogan played every hole from each fairway with a number of balls, which was sort of mystifying to me. He hit them from the right edge, the right center, the left center, and the left edge. And not until I got older did I realize what he was doing. He was trying to find out on each hole where he could get the ball the closest to the hole. And that was nothing but course management. And years later, that came into my mind when, particularly as I was playing amateur golf and as I turned professional, I used that. And I can remember very distinctly at Wingfoot when I won the Open in my fourth year on tour. The third hole was about a 215-yard par 3, and no water on it, a big grass bunker on the right, a big sand bunker on the left, a very narrow green that sloped heavy from the back to the front. I chose to lay up with a 5 and a 6 iron that week, and I pitched at the green, and I would have been happy with two bogeys on the hole. As it turned out, I made four pars, and I went on to win the Open by a shot. But I exercised that course management, which Hogan didn't realize he was teaching me there at the San Diego Country Club when I was a caddy.
And it's really a great, you know, story. And one of the things that there's a definite pattern throughout your book, and Kent touched on this earlier, is the book is really not, as you said, the first 20 or so pages talks about the stats
And I'm sure if we were to, you know, to go through all that, there's probably a lot that you didn't even realize, maybe even to this
right.
point, what was involved. The story truly is a life journey. And it's not, and golf, as I said, was really more or less the vessel that talents that God had given you to be able to utilize on this earth. Just one of the many talents, of course. But really, it's a journey of your life, and some of the obviously the hardships that you went through, but obviously many of the lessons that you learned, and you give a great deal of credit throughout the book to people such as Mr. Hogan. Some of the lessons that you learned. And how you applied them throughout your career and throughout your life. And that's really what I want people to take away from this book. It's not just a book, despite its title, just talking about Arnold, Jack, and Gary and yourself. It's really talking about your journey through life and the things that impacted you the most, you know, such as your wife, Shirley, and that story. And we're going to share that in a moment or two. But there's a lot of things that you share in this book that people can take away and say, aha, you know, I can use that in my life, or maybe I've done that in my life and it's helped me to get to this point. So that's really what I want the listeners to take away from this. It's not just a golf book. It's a life book, really and truly.
That's right. You know, Ted, I call it my fairy tale. And really it is a fairy tale. And my first year in winning on the tour, which was July of 1956, the Labatt Open in Quebec City, Canada. Mm-hmm. And I was playing with Ted Kroll in the last round, and we're walking down the 12th fairway, and he said to me, Billy, he said, it looks like you're going to win the tournament, and I was leading it. He said, but the last few holes are very narrow. Make sure you can get a club in your bag, get a club in your hand, you can get the ball in the fairway. Well, I birdied 14, and I couldn't wait to get to 50, and I made this big swing with a driver, and it ricocheted through the trees, and as we walked off the tee, he didn't say anything, but he gave me a nod and a stare, and I realized that I better take a club out. And my straight club in those days, and it was in the rest of my life, was my 2-iron. And out
right.
came the 2-iron, and I won my first tournament. But what a great gift that was from Ted, just mm-hmm. like the gift I received from Ben Hogan. And I can't tell you how many times I have used both of those in my career to be successful.
Right. And that's something, too, and just to add to that, that's something that I think that in today's society, a lot of the youth are missing. There doesn't, I mean, you know, we always hear about athletes and being role models and things like that, but they're not on the same level as they were in earlier times. The kids are more focused on the end result, what am I going to get out of it, as opposed to the life lessons that they can learn from these different athletes. And that's one of the things that I've noticed that's really missing in today's society, and I wish that we could figure a way to sort of go back a little bit. Certainly we have to keep up with the times, but go back a little bit and let some of the younger generation that are coming up learn from people such as yourself and as you did with Mr. Hogan and so forth and Ted Kroll.
You know, life is nothing but a process of learning and educating yourself. So is the game of golf. It seems that you never stop learning about the game of golf. And I was the type of player that didn't want to spend a lot of time on the practice tee because I had a
right.
perfect lie. I wanted to get out on the golf course and play those side hills and ups and downs and everything that you experienced on the golf course. So I never, very rarely hit golf balls after I finished playing. I wasn't a practicer. My practice was devoted to playing. And so you have
right.
to find your own formula that you can operate by. And it takes time. And it takes time
well,
to learn.
Right, and I think it boils down to this, Billy, just to give you a sort of comparative example. It's one thing to learn from a book. It's another thing to go out and actually do it in real life. And that's really
kind
of the same analogy.
Yeah, and you can't see yourself what you're doing out there when you're practicing. You have to have somebody with you that knows what the game is all about. And I find that so many people go out and practice. They say, oh, I went to the range and I hit balls for an hour and a half. Well, if they didn't have anybody there that could help them with their golf swing, they're just practicing their old habits.
Right. And more often than not, and I know for many of the teaching professionals, and including myself, I'm a teaching professional, but probably one of the most common things that we hear from students is, well, I hit them great on the range, but as soon as I got to that first tee, I was, you know, in the right rough, or I was in the woods, or you know, I was hitting what they call a classic worm burner, and I can't figure out why. Well, it's just as you indicated, Billy, is on the range, they're hitting from a perfect lie all the time. Now, obviously, in a tee shot, it's different. You're teeing the ball out, and you do have a pretty good shot at things. But on the course, you're faced with real-life situations, much like you are in your regular life.
It takes time to gain the experience and understand the pressure, and that's a constant thing. In everything we do, we have the pressure available always, and it's how we handle the pressure that enables us to perform to our utmost.
Right, exactly. Billy, it looks like we're getting the boards opening up here, and we've got another call. Let me take another call, and somebody wants to stop by and say hello. Good evening, and welcome to Golf Talk Live. You're live here with Billy Casper.
Hi, this is Larry Olson. How is Billy and Kent doing tonight?
We're great. We don't know about you, Larry. You know, I have a definition of Larry Olson. He would make nothing look busy.
That's a pretty good definition, Billy.
I can't keep up with
again.
A man.
Well, you taught me something about golf I'll never forget. You told me that you had never seen a short putt go in the hole.
That's right.
So I try to make sure my putts, if they don't go in, they at least go by it.
There was a book written, and one of the chapters was 90% of the putts you leave short, you miss.
Yeah, that was in your book.
Yeah.
Great book. If people haven't read it, they need to read your book. It's a great book of golf.
Well, Larry, you've been such a gem in our lives, and we sure appreciate everything that you've done so far, and we just want to keep you in. Thank you for taking time to call in to Kent and I, and you just keep everything going right in the fairway, and have a good time.
I will. Well, we appreciate you, Billy, and you're a great example to all of us and all that you have made the game famous for, because of what you've done, too.
Thanks, Larry.
Hey, Larry, make sure when you go to bed tonight, you take that doctor prescription of drinking 1 9-iron a day. So you keep that on, buddy.
I will. It's everybody I have drink 9-iron, they love it.
That's right.
You guys have a good one. And, Billy, I've heard several people, I'm in St. George right now, speak about the wonderful message you did in the tabernacle down here.
Well, thank you. We had a wonderful evening.
Yeah, and I saw your grandson, Nate, today. He was working out over where I was working out, and he's one of the kids that just paid you a great compliment as one of your grandkids. So,
well, nice to hear that. Thank you.
You're welcome, Billy. You and Kent have a good time, and I'll let you go so other people can call in.
Give regards to Pat.
I will, and to Shirley, too. Tell her thank you for that beautiful message she left this other day.
Thank you.
Thanks. Have a good night, guys.
All right, Larry,
we appreciate you calling in and spending a moment or two with us here on Golf Talk Live. Thank you very much. Have a great evening. Yeah, it's always nice to, you know, when people can call in and you know, really share experiences how and just goes to really talk about what's in your book, Billy, is that they can share how you've impacted their lives, not just in the golf arena, but on a personal level. And I can't think of a better accolade than having somebody call in and say that, you know, you've touched their lives in so many ways. So obviously it was nice to hear from Larry.
Well, you know, you mentioned it a little bit earlier. I was doing a project for a golf club in Atlanta last year, and one of the participants there was the former president of the PGA, and he made this statement. He said, "Billy, the foundation that you created playing golf is helping so much with what you're doing now in having the opportunity to touch the lives of people." And when I completed my book, you know, I had this void. Everything was stored in my mind. All the information of the book was, most all of it was in my mind. And when I finished, it's just like I had a void in my mind. And I thought, right, what am I going to do? And then I came to the realization that so many people enjoy the game of golf and that I could use that game of golf to touch the lives of people. And it happens almost daily. And it's just a humbling experience and a beautiful experience that I have with my fellow man.
Yeah. It truly is, and you very eloquently talk about much of that in the book. And there was one other thing I wanted to do about Billy the Golfer, but I want to actually jump a little bit ahead. We can talk about it in a little bit later, but I want to talk about, since we're on that topic, just a little bit about the spiritual side of Billy in your book. You, as you indicated at the beginning, you joined the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Also, for the listeners out there, that's also known as Mormons. And during the 1966 U.S. Open, on the Tuesday evening, you were giving a speech or a chat, if you will, at one of the local Mormon meeting places. When you were approached by a woman who asked you, really more of a golf question, but asked you for some advice about her son and about his future perhaps in golf. Can you share a little bit about that story, first off, and obviously who it was that you were talking to and who she was referring to? I think the audience would love to hear that. And then I want to talk a little bit about the spiritual side of Billy. So if you wouldn't mind, if you can share that story with us a little bit further.
Well, let me go back a little bit. I told you the story.
Sure.
About Palm Springs. In early February, I went to Southeast Asia. I had made a commitment with the State Department that I was going to visit the troops for 3 years. And so I went to Asia. I played golf in the Philippines. I visited the military that were in the Philippines. I had the good fortune of playing golf every morning with President of the Philippines, Marcos. And we would play at 6 o'clock and play 9 holes. When I finished my tour in the Philippines, I flew to South Vietnam and went into South Vietnam, and I spent 16 days in South Vietnam visiting the troops and hospitals and in their where they lived and at different bases around South Vietnam. And I came away with an unbelievable morale builder for me. I felt that I was going to build the morale of the troops, and I think I did, but I got more of a morale builder. I felt what a great contribution to these people that these people were making. But then I came back after that, and I participated on the tour. I played in the Masters almost right away, and then played in the Open. And in this particular meeting, this lady came to me and she said, I have a son that's a very good player in college. He thinks he wants to be a professional. She said, should I encourage him? And I said, yes, you have to encourage him, because if he doesn't try, he'll always wonder if he could. If he does try,
right,
and he makes it, he's going to have a wonderful life for himself. And if he tries and he doesn't make it, he has his education to fall back on. Well, she said, my name is Sister Miller. It was Johnny Miller's wife. So I took Johnny under my wing and worked with him. And one of the most interesting things that happened during the segment that I worked with him is I always tried to impress upon him when playing a shot under heavy competition, because of the,
right,
the flow of the adrenaline, that you take the shorter club and hit it hard. Don't try to hit any three-quarter shots or easy shots. And we were playing at the Crosby one year, and we were in one of the last groups, and Johnny's leading the tournament going to 17. He tried to hit a three-quarter seven-iron, and he knocked it over the green, scored a six, and lost the Crosby that year. So I waited several weeks, and then we sat down and talked about it. And he learned so much from that. And when he won the Open in outside of Pittsburgh, and he was on that back nine, it was fun to watch him on television, how hard he was swinging. And every time,
right,
he hit it hard, he knocked it right against the hole. And he utilized what I had suggested to him. And he shot 63 the last round and won the U.S. Open that year. And
wow,
then that he used time and time again, like I used from Ted Kroll and Hogan.
Ben Hogan.
Yeah.
And
he won,
right,
so many tournaments in the desert. He was so good in the desert in Arizona particularly. But he could play everywhere, you know. When he won the Open there at Oakmont, that just made his life, you know. You remember, the public remembers players that have won Open, you know, won major championships. You can,
right,
win a tournament five times or six times, and many of them don't even remember that you won that tournament that many times, but they remember that you won the Open once, or the PGA, or the British Open.
Right, exactly. And that just, you know, sort of really amplifies what we talked about earlier on how, you know, you were able to, in turn, you know, you learned from some earlier golfers, Ben Hogan, and as you said, Ted Kroll, and you were able to then pass knowledge that you had gained onto sort of that next generation, you know, hence Johnny Miller. Billy, let me, before we continue on, we've got another caller here that wants to quickly, I want to try and get through a few of these, then we'll get back to a little bit more of the Big Three and me.
Very good.
Good evening and welcome to Golf Talk Live. You're on with Billy Casper and Kent Novus on Golf Talk Live. Do you have a question or you just want us to call in to say hello?
I want to say hello. This is David Sorrell calling in from Monroe, Louisiana. How are you guys doing tonight?
Oh my gosh. Louisiana.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
I've got so many memories about New Orleans and all my friends in New Orleans. You know, in 1958, I won the New Orleans Open, and we had trouble with the weather. It rained Thursday and got canceled. It rained Friday, we got canceled. And it rained Saturday and we got canceled. And finally Sunday we started the tournament. We played 18 holes at City Park on Sunday, and Monday they made the 36-hole cut. And then we played 36 holes on Tuesday, and Ken Venturi and I tied. And on Wednesday we went out to the city park, and it was raining, and we were supposed to play 18 holes, and finally they decided on 9, and then they finally decided on sudden death, and we both parred the first hole, and the second hole it was a 5-par. It had on the green two, about 30 feet, and Ken was on in 3, and I holed a putt for eagle and won the New Orleans Open in 1958. In 1975, the last tournament I won on the regular tour was at Lakewood.
Wow.
So that was 17 years later.
Well, congratulations. That's fantastic. And to think that it actually rains in Louisiana. We had a gully washer come yesterday, what we like to call here in the South, a frog strangler or a toad choker. Yeah, we
right.
got quite a bit of rain yesterday. But, Mr. Casper, it's a pleasure to be able to speak to you. My grandfather, Lonnie Johnson, was a life member at Hodges Ferry Pines Golf Course in Portsmouth, Virginia. And my grandfather actually taught me the game of golf and the love of golf. And I got to tell you, the last couple months, I got turned on to Mr. Novus's product, 9-Iron.
Oh, isn't that fun?
Yes, sir. I've actually got we're driving back from football practice tonight, and we're listening to you guys. My wife's in the car with me, Michelle, and my son, Landon. And all three of us, we are huge fans of you, Mr. Casper, and then also 9-Iron. I tell you what, the great thing about that for me is on those clutch putts or those clutch drives, you know, like you guys were saying earlier, you don't get all jazzed up. You really focus in on what you're trying to do, and you don't have to worry about, you know, Red Bull gives you wings. It definitely does. But like you said, Ted, as the host earlier, you said that what goes up must come down. And I tell you what, when you drink those other energy drinks, you definitely come crashing and burning. But it's a great product, third Congress we work with, and we love it. I do want to ask you a question, though, Mr. Casper. I got your ear, and you got to listen to me talk here for a minute, Ted. You said earlier you got off with a couple presidents, correct?
Right.
Well, I got to ask you, did you teach Gerald Ford how to tee off there in Washington, D.C.? Because I watched that guy play a couple times, and he darn near knocked out some spectators there about 20 yards out of the tee box.
Okay, you got a you just opened up a story.
Uh-oh.
Hope says in one of the functions that he was hosting, he said, "We'd like to thank President Ford for playing in the Bob Hope Desert Classic, for helping us build a wing on the Eisenhower Memorial Hospital, and helping to fill it."
Oh, that's great, Billy.
You know, I had the opportunity to play with President Ford, and I didn't have to worry about him hitting me because I tried to stay behind him all the time, and even that's not sometimes a safe place.
Well, that's too fantastic. That's fantastic. Well, I'm a jump off the line, Ted. It's a great show. We tune in pretty regularly, and we sure do enjoy the 9-Iron product. And Mr. Casper, it is an absolute honor to be able to communicate with you and just exchange some words. And your book's great. The stories you tell are fantastic. And when you talk about life lessons and stuff, that's what it's all about. It's about family and being a positive mentor to your kids so they can grow up and carry on, you know, with your legacy. So super proud to be a part of it and super proud to be visiting with you on the phone. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for taking time and calling in. I really appreciate you.
Yep.
Maybe one of these days when I'm down in your area, we can meet person to person.
Well, you know what? I think I may send a postcard to Mr. Kent Novus telling him how much I like his product, and maybe he can arrange a meeting for us.
Okay.
I'd love to do that, Mr. Sorrell. That sounds like a great idea.
Thanks.
All right, guys. Have a great night. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
That's a great call.
Yeah, that's
great
fantastic.
Call.
Well, thank you very much.
That's
thank
a great
you for calling
call.
In. And
And somehow I think there might be a detour after football practice, and he may be heading up your way a lot sooner than you realize, Billy. I'm sure of that. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. I'm glad that you're listening, and obviously I've been out in the Louisiana area myself many times, and it's a beautiful state. Billy, let's get back to a little bit about more on your spiritual side of things. Obviously,
right.
Joining the church has been a big, big part of your life, and I want you just to share a little bit how it has helped you in your journey through life.
Well, you know, I was introduced to the church in 1959 when I won the U.S. Open. I received an invitation to come and play in the Utah Open. And Shirley and I sat in the tabernacle and watched The Joy of Christmas being made with Elliot Bernstein and the Mormon Tabernacle
right.
Choir. And I became good friends with Hack Miller, who was the sports editor of the Deseret News. And for the following years, we came to Utah. And finally, in 1966, my oldest was 12, my next was 11, and then I had a five-year-old. And I wanted something in my life that would keep our family together, and I liked the programs in the church for the youth. My wife was a musician, and she was converted through the spirit of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir and through the spirit of Father in Heaven. And she was converted a long time before myself, and she just waited. And even though I wanted the church in my life for my children and family, I had no idea what the full ramifications were of the church. And in 1966, of course, was an important year. I've already explained about going to Vietnam,
right.
And Southeast Asia, and there I had the opportunity to see the church in action, even in foreign countries. And I actually had an opportunity to speak in Hong Kong to a group of people that were attending the church with a interpreter. And, of course, I was told not to say anything about golf because the Chinese saints knew nothing about it, not like it is today. And
right.
So anyhow, that was my first experience with speaking with an interpreter, but halfway around the world. My year progressed to where I had a fantastic year, and to make a decision to have the opportunity to play in the Open again and to play well in the Open, and to come from seven shots behind in the last nine holes to catch Palmer and have a very lengthy press conference after we finished the round. And I was itchy because I had a speaking engagements in the church 40 miles north of San Francisco in a place called Petaluma, scheduled to start at 7, and it started at 8. And I spoke, and it lasted till 11, about 11:30. And I was staying with a member in Green Bay, California, and his family, with my family. And we got back about 12:45, and I had dinner at 1 o'clock, bed at 1:30, and teed off in the Open Championship playoff at 10:30, and was two shots behind. And on the 11th hole, I hold about a 35-foot putt with about a 6 to 8 foot break to the right, and Arnold scored bogey, and he had a two-shot lead. We were tied, and I won from four. by four shots from there in. But the cover of the book is the picture of me doing a dance on that green.
Right.
And it was some experience for my followers and for me to experience that. When I won the Open the first time, I had made a commitment that I would win the Open a second time, and here I won it in that fashion. And
right.
The same thing that happened with me for the Open was for the Masters. The first time I played in the Masters was 1957. I had qualified through the U.S. Open at Oak Hill, and I tied for 13th, and that gave me a shot to play at the Masters. And I played there ever since. I've been there every year since 1957. And those are dreams or desires that one has. And I have been very fortunate in my life that I have been able to accomplish a number of the desires and dreams that I had in my early life. And that's
right.
Why I call this story a fairy tale. That's all part of the fairy tale.
Billy, we have another one on the line here that wants to say hello. Let's bring them on real quick.
Right.
Good evening and welcome to Golf Talk Live. You're here with Billy Casper and Kent Novus.
Yes, I'm calling in because I'm a fan of both. I'll tell you, one of the things that I think is incredible when you listen to Billy Casper speak is, this is Jeff calling from Utah. What I appreciate is the humility of the man and his gratitude
right.
back to a people and to an industry that took care of him, but he's given so much back to as well. I mean, it's really an example of the way true leadership functions, you know. That's character we're talking about there. That's not just golf. That's character.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there is no doubt in my mind that I have been watched over.
Yeah.
Throughout my life.
Yeah.
And
haven't we all?
Yes, all of us have. And, you know, we're not forced into anything. We make our own decisions, and when we make our own decisions, then a lot of things from Father in Heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ open up to us.
Well,
and as we grow and progress, as I said earlier, it's a life of education and growth and mm-hmm. knowledge and building a foundation that will strengthen and build your life.
Well,
could I relate one story to you, which you might find
sure.
very interesting?
I'd love
when
to.
The book
I'd love to hear.
Yeah, when the book was finished, I carried it to the leadership of the church, and I had a visit with President Monson.
All right.
And with the book was a master's flag, which is yellow. He read in the book, and then he clutched that master's flag, and he said, "This is my most favorite color." And I said, "Why, President?" He says, "It's the color of all beginning." And I
yep.
thought for a few seconds, and I said, "Are you talking about the sun?" He said, "Yes." And if we didn't have the sun, we would have none of the material things on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
And how it helps us to make decisions to be a blueprint for our life. And how it gives us the opportunity when we place those material things in our life in the proper way that we can use them in servicing our fellow man. And what a beautiful program that is. And how grateful I am to President Monson that he would give that to me, that I could use and use it in talking to people all over the world.
Yeah, and
yeah.
you have been. You know, in the English language, sun, S-U-N, and sun, S-O-N, are synonymous, and I love that beautiful metaphor that all things come from the sun. You're sitting with a very good man, Kent Novus, as you know.
Right.
He's the kind that is growing his nine iron and his give back to the community through that with a lot of respect and a lot of attention to detail, that it's really not about him. It's not about the product. It's about creating opportunities, you know, for people.
This, you know, none of these things are about us. They're about an overall master plan that we have that we can attain in our lives if we make the right decisions. And that is so important. And each and every one of us have an opportunity to do those things.
That's well said. That's well said.
Yep. Jeff, I want to thank you
for
calling in.
Yeah,
thanks, Jeff, for calling.
Go ahead.
I appreciate the calls.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're very
success.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, Billy, I wanted to progress a little bit further here, but the boards are starting to light up. I think people want to call in and say hello. So let's just take a few calls if we can, and we'll try to squeeze in the rest of the book if we can at some point.
These things are fun because they get me thinking about things maybe I haven't even thought about for a while.
That's right. All right, let me bring the next caller on. Good evening and welcome to Golf Talk Live. Sorry to keep you waiting. You're on with Billy Casper and Kent Novus. Good evening.
Hi, is it me? Am I on?
Yes,
you're on.
Oh, Billy, what an honor, what a pleasure to talk to you, sir. I've read your book.
Thank you.
Just a huge fan of your accomplishments. I'm an avid golfer, and I know how hard it is to win against my buddies. I can't imagine how hard it would be to win on tour as many times as you did. So thanks. I was hoping you could answer a couple questions for me.
Give us a name and where you live.
Oh, Todd from San Diego.
Oh, that's a good spot.
Your hometown. They have a shrine to you in the airport there. I'm sure you've seen it, but I have a question. You're one of the best putters ever. Could you give us your best putting tip? And then for me, I always struggle with playing under pressure, you know, trying to hit a 100-yard wedge when it really matters or a tough chip. That's hard. Mm-hmm. So how did you play under pressure? You just wired for it?
I loved it. I love pressure. I was or survival from the time I started hitting golf balls, you know, and in my early teens, my parents were divorced and I lived with one or the other, and the book is such a great story of my early life and everything that I went through, but I was a survival, and I think my life built me to handle pressure. Now, where I developed my putting stroke was after I finished caddy. It was always dark because we had played cards until we couldn't see the cards, and I had my putter in the caddy pen always. And walking back home, which was across the golf course, I would stop at one of the greens and putt in the dark. And I would walk up to where I could see the hole, and I kept that as a mental image as I walked back away from the hole. And I always faced the hole, and I developed such a keen stroke that often those putts that I would hit in the dark would be very, very, very close to the hole. In fact, the last time that I putted in the dark was the last tournament I won on the senior tour, which was in Silverado. I was staying at the apartments there at Silverado, and half of the putting green was in the dark that week. and I putted in the dark every night, and I went on to win the tournament. But to help you with the pressure, it's very important that you practice and develop the shots that you're going to need to play on each golf course that you play. And then when you have one of the shots and you're under the pressure, you don't think about that situation there, but you revert back to the practice that you have done on the practice green or the practice area that will enable you to think about the fundamentals that you use for that shot there, and then you have success.
Right.
Does that make sense?
You. Very well.
Yeah.
Very well. I would submit that you at least also have at least 3 9-irons during the round also.
That won't hurt.
Well, I love it. I do. I'm so glad for all of it. Billy, you wrote a great book. I had such a pleasure to read it. I drink 9-iron because you endorse it, and I get it every golf shop I can get to. I mean, every golf course, they sell it. They sell it. I drink it. If they don't sell it, I ask them why. It's a great drink, and I just what an honor to talk to you. Thank you so much.
It's good to visit with you, and my tournament is May 5th at the San Diego Country Club this coming year for kids.
I'll be there.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks again for calling in, and we're going to take one more caller here, and then we're going to get right back into the book. Thank you very much for calling in. Good evening. Welcome to Golf Talk Live. Sorry to keep you waiting. You're on with Billy Casper and Kent Nobis. Good evening.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Billy. It's good to talk to you. This is Eric from Utah.
Right.
So I was just calling in. Big fan of you. You're an amazing golfer, big legend. I also am a big fan of 9-iron, partially with your endorsement. I found it to be a great drink too.
Good. We're glad you called. What do you got for me? I know you got a question or two.
always a question or two. I've looked into the 9-iron quite a bit, and I'm just curious why do you find it useful, or why do you endorse the 9-iron, Billy?
Well, I think it helps people, and that's my main goal, is to help people. And if I can help it through a drink that will give them more energy and hydrate them and make them perform better and can use their mind better, that's why I'm here.
Well, that's great. I mean, obviously, with golf, that's a big part of it, as you talked about, is just, the whole mental part of the game, your ability to kind of really focus and handle pressure. I found that, just with your last comments, really interesting with how you used to practice your putting at night. Obviously, that trained your mind extensively, and that's what probably made you a lot of who you are.
Well, in order to hit that ball, you've got to keep your head down, and that's one of the common flaws in putting, is that you want to see where the ball's going, and if you're putting at night, you have to keep your head down so that you can make good contact with it. And when I got to putting off a little off, I always would readjust my head to where I kept it up right on top of the ball so that I didn't move my head.
Well, I think a lot of golf courses are going to wonder why there's all these people out on their course at night, golf putting.
Yeah, you're right. I wonder what kind of fee they're going to charge.
I love that. that's great.
Well, it was great to talk to you, Billy. I'm a big fan of who you are and what you've done, and like I say, I've kind of come across Nine Iron. It's been a big, good, big enjoyment too, and kind of impressed with it. And I haven't listened to all the show tonight, but I don't know if Kent, you've got anything to share with Nine Iron. I've looked at it a little bit, but just kind of maybe curious about where it all came from. And
yeah, at the beginning of the show, I gave a good history. Go ahead, Ted.
Yeah, what I was going to say is just to let you know that the program is actually auto-recorded, so if you want, you can actually go back.
Great.
The show is going to be actually ending about 20 minutes or so, so you can actually go back and listen, follow the link, and it will come up within about 20 minutes or so after the broadcast ends. It'll come up in its entirety, so you can actually go in and get any of the show that you missed earlier on. But I want to thank you for calling in. We've got a few more here lined up, Billy, so we've got to make some room.
Thanks.
But I appreciate you calling in and saying hello to Billy Casper.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thanks,
take care, buddy.
All right. All right, good evening, and welcome to Golf Talk Live. Sorry to keep you waiting. You're on with Billy Casper and Kent Novus. Good evening, and welcome to the program. Oh, I think we might have lost that one.
Lost one.
Hopefully they'll call back in. But just to let the listeners, those that are tuning in towards the latter part of the show, you're on with my very special guests, Mr. Billy Casper and Kent Novus. Certainly having some good times here, listening to some great stories that Billy's been sharing with not only the listeners, but also with some of the callers calling in, and certainly want to keep them coming here in the last few minutes. Billy, I want to move on a little bit here, just because I know that there were some other things that I want to touch on, but I'm going to let those go, and I'll have you back perhaps another time. But one thing I would be remiss if I didn't allow you the opportunity. I know this is something that is very, and you've mentioned it several times throughout the program, that's very important to you. Obviously, as we all know, Billy's done everything from play golf to design and build golf courses really all around. Started a great foundation to help kids. In 1992, you founded the Billy Casper Youth Foundation, and you host an annual golf tournament, which is, as you said, coming up May 5th in 2014, which, of course, benefits the foundation. But one of the things I know that's very dear to your heart is Billy's kids. Share a little bit of that, if you can, with the listeners, and let them know a little bit about what the foundation does.
Well, a number of years ago, I was contacted by a group that had a number of different sports summer camps. And for 22 years, we had a golf summer camp in San Diego, 21 years. And then they filed bankruptcy, both personally and corporately. And we had 67 kids that they had received money from. And they said, we're not going to have the camp. You do whatever you want to do with the kids. And so we rerouted the kids from the San Diego area to Virginia. And we held the camp in Virginia. And in those years, we had nearly 4,000 kids come. And
wow.
That was 22 years we operated the camp, and I run into kids today all over the country and all over the world that came to my golf camp, and they thank me for one great story. Was I had a little girl in golf camp. She was 12, from Switzerland, and every time she hit a shot for me on the practice tee, she just hit it dead perfect. Well, I played one hole with each kid in camp every year, and the hole that she played with me was the first hole on the North Course at Torrey Pines in San Diego, and it's a 5-par, and she hit a good drive, and she hit a 3-wood, and I hit 2 woods on the edge of the green, She had an 8-iron about 10 feet, and we both walked off with par 4, by birdie 4s. So
wow.
For that, she not only got a signed golf ball, but I signed a glove and gave to her.
Wow.
A number of years later, I was doing work with Scripps Foundation, and they had a golf tournament in which they were hosting the donors to the foundation. And I arrived, and the president of the foundation said, "There's a young lady in here that wants to talk to you." And so I went in, and she introduced herself, and she said, "22 years ago, when I was 12, I was at your camp. I had come from Switzerland." And she said, "We played the first hole at Torrey Pines, and I scored a birdie, and you scored a birdie, and you not only gave me a golf ball, but you gave me a glove." And I said to her, I said, "What has transpired in your life since that time?" She said, "Well, I played very good amateur golf in Europe, and I turned professional and had good success at professional, and I received a conditional card to come and play here in the States, and I played around the States, and the atmosphere wasn't the same that I knew in golf as I grew up." And she said, "I'm now in the investment business, and I work right here in La Jolla." She had gone from La Jolla back to Switzerland, played golf over Europe, then came back to La Jolla, and here I met her 22 years later. She's now 30. She was now 34, and she said, "What I learned in your golf camp has just helped my life tremendously." So
what a fantastic story.
Things that really mean things to you when you can help someone, no matter who it is.
Yep.
And
exactly.
So,
Billy,
my daughter was in high school, my youngest daughter, she became a member of the Bonita Vista High School Music Machine, which sing and dance or like up with people. And they were going to China. And so we sat down with the parents and said, "We can run a golf tournament and raise a substantial amount of money." And they couldn't understand how you could raise the amount of money that I had suggested. And I knew we could raise more because we'd done a tournament about 4 months earlier for junior achievement. And we gave them twice the amount of money that I suggested to them. And when the tournament was over, we gave them four times as much as I had suggested to them. And they were able to go to the mainland of China. And so we started the foundation at that time, Billy's Kids. And we've operated 22 years, and we've given a little over $3 million to kids in many different areas, whether it's scholarships for fine arts or scholarships for sports, whatever is needed. We are there to help out.
Fantastic. Billy, we've got a caller.
Yes.
Yeah, let me just bring on this caller. Was the one we lost here. Let me see if we still got him. Hang on 1 second. Good evening, and welcome to Golf Talk Live. Sorry that we've kept you holding so long. We're getting bombarded here with calls coming in, so I apologize. Welcome to the show.
Hi, this is Ethan from St. George, and I wanted to ask Billy, what was his favorite golf course?
My favorite golf course is Cypress Point on the Monterey Peninsula. The beauty and the way the course is designed is just absolutely a joy to play on. And I can have many wonderful experiences there. One of the years I was 6 under par going to the 16th hole, and that's the hole across the ocean. And I decided to go for the green, and I wound up making 6, and I wound up shooting 3 under par instead of a little better. But I learned so much from it that time, and from that time on, I laid up on that hole and pitched at the green, and I shot some very good scores, and I had the good fortune of winning the Bing Crosby twice. I won the first time in 1958, and then I won again in about 1963.
Well, it's,
thanks, Billy.
Thank you for
you bet.
Thank you for calling in.
How old are you?
I'm 13.
Good for you. Keep hitting that golf ball, and you'll never get in any trouble.
All right, thanks.
Okay, buddy.
All right, thank you. Thanks for calling in. All right, Billy, we're going to take one more call here. We've got a holder holding on here.
Very good.
Good evening and welcome to the show. You're on Golf Talk Live with Billy Casper and Kent Novus. Good evening.
Hello, guys. Thank you for taking my call. This is Christian Creed in Monroe, Louisiana.
Oh, Monroe, Louisiana. Christian Creed. Good.
I appreciate you being available to take my call, Mr. Casper. A couple of things. I wanted to compliment you on a great book. It's a very nice read. A dear friend gave it to me recently as a gift. And I just found it very entertaining, and I think it's a great book, and I'd recommend it to many. Also, I wanted to thank you for all you do with your foundation, and I was going to ask you a little bit about it, but you actually addressed some of my questions with the previous caller, and I kind of wanted to ask you, too, about your affiliation with Nine Iron. That's a great sports drink, and it's one that's recently come into our market, and I think it's a product like that has been long overdue. And if you could talk about that a little bit, because I think particularly in the golf world, I think we needed a drink. Being a big golfer and a big fan of golf, I think that's good not only for the sport of golf, but for it to be used in all sports.
It can be used anywhere. It can be used in any sport. It can be used in any business. It can be used in just general work. It just takes care of the needs of the body and physically. And, you know, I'm very much interested in helping out people. In the middle 60s, I found that I had allergies, and I went to a doctor in Chicago that was an allergist that was recommended to me by a close friend, and I found that that doctor was somewhere between 10 and 40 years advanced in the allergy field, and he was very instrumental in keeping me going all through my life, and now I'm 82, and I'm still going strong. Actually, I'm busier now than I've ever been. And to make a contribution to my fellow man is so important in my life. And when Kent came to me with the product and we sat down and visited about it and I tried it and I experienced what so many are experiencing, and it just made sense to me, and I wanted to get involved with it because I'm interested in health. And this will help people to live better and have better health.
I can't agree with you more. I mean, it's a great drink. My children drink it. We keep it in our fridge at home and at work. And when you take it to the golf course, there never seems to be enough of it. And it's my understanding, too, that they help your foundation as well, which I appreciate, them being good corporate citizens.
Right. And I've been very grateful for things like that have come into my life, you know, and they enrich my life. And your phone call is definitely an enrichment of my life, and I appreciate it very much. Yeah. I sure thank you.
Yep.
Well,
yeah, we certainly appreciate.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, we appreciate the call, and I hope you continue to listen to the remainder of the program. We only got a few minutes here left. Just as I mentioned to one of the earlier callers, if you sort of tune in late to the broadcast, the broadcasts are recorded, so if you go to the link at a little bit later point, you can actually listen to the broadcast in its entirety. So hopefully you'll get a chance to do that. I want to thank you for tuning into the program and for calling in and talking with Billy.
Thank you so much. My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, Billy, we're getting down to the home stretch here. I'm trying to drag it out to 7 hours, but I don't know if I can do it.
Well, just do some more of your communications with your sponsors and everything, and you can get it there.
Oh, Billy, I love it.
We can keep going. I have to share a funny story myself. We talked about the other day on the phone, and you know, when I asked about you spending some time with me here on Golf Talk Live, and you know that you could certainly have as much time as you wanted, and you had made a comment, something to the effect that after hearing me talk, that you didn't think it would be an issue carrying on for 2 hours. You've obviously met your match, and I can certainly talk with the best of them. But Billy, I certainly have enjoyed having you on this program, and I want to how I want to wrap things up are really two ways. First off, I want to let people know how they can get a hold of the Nine Iron Sports drink, Kent, and that is at www.9irondrink.com, and it's spelled out in its entirety. It's www.9irondrink.com, and you can click on the link buy, and that goes to, you said, I think the Thirstmonger link
correct.
Takes you directly there. Is that correct? Yeah.
That is correct.
And I know that it's only going to build momentum after being on tonight's show and all of the callers calling in and giving a great endorsement. And I'm going to certainly, we'll talk about that another time, but I'm certainly going to make sure that I get the information up on my website, which is www.golftalkliveblog.com, on how you can get a hold of some of the product as well. Certainly want to throw some of my weight behind it. It's been a great product, and I want to help for a number of reasons, not only because it tastes great, but obviously it helps out a worthy cause, and which brings me, Billy, back to your foundation. If you're interested in helping Billy's Kids, you can visit the website at www.billyskids.com. And I just want to read something, actually, if I may, Billy, just really off of that website. It's right on the main page. It's a little bit about us. And I just want to read that to the listeners about the Billy Kids Foundation. And it starts off like this. The focus for Billy's Kids has always been on the youth of America. We believe that these youngsters, the future of our great country, are our most precious commodity. The proceeds of our tournament and our other donations help support youth who benefit from many wonderful programs, and the list is growing. All our benefactors are terrific organizations dedicated to broadening our children's views and teaching them invaluable life skills necessary to compete in an ever-changing world. We invite you to become involved. The Billy Casper Annual Golf Classic Corporate Golf, Cup Challenge is a one-day event that includes a tournament, dinner, and auction. If you can make it to the San Diego to join us, you can make a donation to Billy's Kids through this website or by calling the office. Billy, I can't emphasize enough. Really what this book spoke to me was not about golf, but really about life itself, about doing what we can to help others. And I can't think of a better person that I've ever had the experience in my life, of my almost 50 years on this earth, who epitomizes that better than you do. If I was to take one thing away from this book, it isn't the 51 PGA Tour events, the three majors, but it's a human being who has made his life dedication to helping and doing what he can to help others. And I want to thank you for doing that, Billy Casper, and I hope you continue to do that for the remainder of your time that we have blessed on this earth.
Well, you know, I've been very blessed, and I was doing a program in St. George a number of years ago, and I had spoken at a golf dinner, and two gentlemen came up, and one said, and I'd never had this question before, and he said, "Billy, what do you want to be remembered for?" And I thought for a second, and I said, "I want to be remembered for that I have a great love for my fellow man."
Yeah.
And I sure appreciate the opportunity to spend the time with you, and may our Father in Heaven continue to bless you because you are doing a great service to people all over the world, and I thank you for it.
Well, I appreciate that, Billy. It means a great honor coming from somebody who has dedicated their life, and that's really what I've been trying to do with this program. As I mentioned to you last week, I've got a lot of things that I'm working on for the new year, and obviously we don't have time to get into them now, but I just want to remind the folks that if you want to get a copy of Billy's book, The Big Three and Me, it's as many of the callers indicated when they called in, those that have read it and those that are in the process of, that it is a fantastic book. You can get that available at thebig3andme.com. Also, want you to make sure that you check out Billy's other websites, billycaspergolf.com, and learn a little bit about what he's done in the golfing world. And also, I want to make sure that you particularly visit the Billy's Kids website at www.billyskids.com and really help out some of these youngsters out there who can really use some mentoring and offer, whether it be through donations or maybe offering to volunteer and help in any way that you can. So I want to make sure that that you have that opportunity to do that. So make sure you visit Billy's website for the foundation and help out any way that you can. And obviously, Kent, I want to thank you as well for coming on the program and for introducing Mr. Billy Casper to me and to my listeners. I know that I'm sure thoroughly enjoyed it, as indicated by the phone lines ringing up tonight. And I want to thank all of the callers for calling in and sharing your stories and sharing some questions with Billy throughout the evening. Gentlemen, I want to thank you both for coming on this program, and I will continue to do whatever I can in any way I can to not only promote 9-Iron, but to do what I can to help others. And Billy, your book has certainly inspired me, and I enjoyed reading it, and I want to thank you. Gentlemen, I want to take this opportunity to thank both of you for being my guests this evening. Obviously, Billy, it was especially an honor to have you to share a little bit of your life with my listeners. Thank you both very much.
Well, we sure enjoyed it, and I thank you for the opportunity. And Kent, thank you for making all the arrangements and setting everything up, and thank you for your contribution, too.
You bet. It's been a pleasure to be on the phone with both of you tonight, and just have a great evening, and we'll just keep this good stuff going on, what we're doing.
For sure. And Billy and Kent, I just want you to keep us updated on what's happening with 9-Iron. And Billy, anytime you want to come back on and talk about the foundation in more detail, and also we can get some more information for the new year when the tournament comes up to let the listeners know. I will be more than happy to plug your tournament coming up in May in any way that I can to let my listeners know about that and how they can either become a volunteer or help out at the tournament or perhaps just donate to Billy's Kids and help some of these youngsters, as I said, have a better opportunity at life out there. Thank you, and God bless for all the work
that you
do, Mr. Casper.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. You're welcome. Have we got one more moment with you, Billy? I think we have one last caller
sure.
that wants to squeak in here.
Okay, good.
Okay, let's do it. Good evening. You're Hello. Our last caller. Welcome to Golf Talk Live. You're on with Billy Casper and Kent Novus. Do you have a quick question? We're almost ready to go off air.
Well, I just have a statement. I'm a fan of 9-Iron. And I was introduced to it about 4 years ago. My name is Harry Goins. I'm calling from Alexandria, Virginia.
Oh, my goodness.
Mr. Casper, you got quite a reputation. I'm not a real golf fan, but I have a lot of friends that are. And you have a reputation for having good management for golf courses.
Yes,
so
we thank you.
We've been
very successful, and we have a large family in the golf course business. Something like 6,000, and
wow,
it's great. It's great to have someone like you call in and to give us the acknowledgement and take care of yourself and have a good life.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Casper.
Hey, thanks, Harry, for being a 9-Iron fan. What a great call. Appreciate you.
Okay, thank
right.
you.
Thank you very
thank
much
you.
For calling in. All right. Gentlemen, as we wrap up again one more time, I want to thank you, both of you, for being on the program this evening. And again, I would love to have you guys back anytime that you want, Mr. Casper, as I said, I'll be more than happy to have you come back on to talk about your foundation and the tournament and anything that we can do to help here at Golf Talk Live. I'm more than happy to do so. And Kent, I'll be in touch with you. I might, if time permits, maybe we can talk tomorrow if you have a chance. I'd like to talk about some things that we can do to help out with 9-Iron as well.
Sounds great, Ted. Appreciate your time tonight.
All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen. And thank you for tuning into Golf Talk Live tonight with my very special guests, Kent Novus of 9-Iron Sports Drink, and, of course, the legendary Billy Casper. Thank you, and have a great evening. God bless.
God bless.
Bless.
All right, for those of you that that didn't make it in on the line, I just want to thank again both of my very, very special guests. It's been a great evening, heard some fantastic stories. One thing I did want to mention before I go that I didn't get a chance throughout the program was talk. Just mention my guest for next week on November 14th. And I didn't get a chance to sneak it in here during the broadcast. We were just having too much fun here. So I just want to make a point of letting you know. So joining me next week will be author, speaker, and PGA golf guru Scott Seiferlein. He's going to be joining me next week, November 14th, here on Golf Talk Live to talk about some of the books that he's done and just what he's doing to help those of you out there that need some help with your game. And he's got an interesting title here called Stop Slicing in Five Swings Guaranteed. I want to talk to him a little bit about that tonight here on Golf Talk Live. Thank you very, very much for joining us this evening on Golf Talk Live with my special guests, Billy Casper and Kent Novus. And for those of you that missed the live broadcast, you can now go to blogtalkradio.com/golftalklive, and probably within the next 15 to 20 minutes, the recorded version should be uploaded, and you can listen to the program in its entirety. Thank you very much again for tuning in this evening, and thank you one last time to my special guests, Billy Casper and Kent Novus. Thank you. God bless. Have a great evening and a great weekend.